who's and what's and whys and wherefores. Here you'll find your whatnots and therefores. So come on along, let's find out what's going on. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what your taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news. And when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what you taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news.
Welcome to the Sweep Spot Podcast Current Events Edition as of July 7th, 2023.
All right. So glad to be here.
Yes. Thank you for coming and listening. And Ken and I are both former Disneyland Custodial cast members, and we talk Disneyland. We
have you said my name, but your name is Lynn. That's Lynn Baron, everybody, the legendary Lynn Baron. And I am Ken Pellman.
Did I say I was Ken?
No, you said you were with me. Ken, you mentioned my name, but
oh, I see what you're saying. That's funny. All right.
But Ken... I thought you deserve an introduction too.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Ken and I are both former Disneyland Studio cast members, like I said. So we do these shows. So this is the current events edition. We talk about the latest Disneyland news on this edition. But on our main topics, which is what the show was formed from, we talk to former Disney cast members from all over, you know, Imagineers, authors, historians, customers from different departments all over the park. So variety of different kinds of guests. And so we have over 363 episodes. You can go back and listen to those. We have a huge catalog that's available still, and go back. And we're also authors of two books called Cleaning the Kingdom. You can get those books signed on our website, thesweepspot.com. And those books are all about our adventures working in Disneyland. And then the second book called Cleaning the Kingdom also is, it's not called Cleaning the Kingdom also, but it's also called Cleaning the Kingdom. So yeah, that's
English is a funny language. You
know? That's more of the history of the Disneyland custodial department. And it also goes back and talks to some people that worked there when Walt was there. And after that, so you want to get both of those. They both kind of go together, and you get a good idea of the whole story. So you can get signed copies of those on our website, thesweepspot.com. But you can also, if you just want to get them on Amazon, you can.
Yeah, they won't be signed, but yeah, you can get them there.
We have digital copies of them, where Kindle and wherever, you know, you get those, and audio versions of the books are available Audible and wherever those are found. So also I want to mention that if you want to help support the show, we really appreciate it, and we can use it, because all these episodes, we try to keep them available, but it does cost money to have these all available. And you know, the more we put out, so and then we have a website, we have different things that cost money, and we have a new way of recording, which does cost money now too. Hopefully that sound is better than what we've had in the past.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to help support us, you can join our Patreon. For $5 or more a month, you can get one bonus episode per month delivered to you. It's Ken and I recording, just talking about various topics around Disneyland. And also you can get to join in the chat room that you'll hear later in this episode. You can kind of comment with others that are Patreon supporters in the chat room as we record this episode. So usually a lot of fun.
Oh yeah.
I wanted to mention also, if you'd like to help our good friend Jim Corcus, he's been on our show many times and a Disney author and historian. He's had some health issues over the past while now, and if you'd like to go fund me and help him, you can help him out. And we'll have a link into our show notes for that. And I know he will truly appreciate it. And if you want to help in other ways, you can buy his books, because they are great gifts and great to read for yourself too. One thing I wanted to mention, I've been kind of co-hosting with Teresa on the DL Weekly podcast. And if you want to hear a full report of my trip report to Disneyland, you can go over there. That's on the latest edition, but I will be there for the next few more weeks helping her out. So you can go over and listen to that. And if we have any new listeners from the DL Weekly, welcome. Hope you enjoy the sweet spot. I think that's all I have, Ken. Do you have anything you wanted to mention?
I just wanted to say, you know, just spread the word, tell people how to find us, give us some feedback, leave comments, especially at Apple Podcasts. If you can comment on the, you know, give a review of the program, that'll help out. And we thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy.
Yeah, and also wanted to say that this week we will have the D180, and we'll have that up next.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Concy Ears, and welcome to the D180. While Ken and Lynn cover all things Disneyland, in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We start our journey in Walt Disney World, where tickets have just gone on sale for their Jollywood Nights at Hollywood Studios. You get the pun, right? Okay, good. Let's move on. Because yes, Walt Disney World plans to have a new extra ticket experience at the Hollywood Studios this holiday season. I hope I said Hollywood and not Holiday Studios. If your family has enjoyed their nights at the Magic Kingdom, maybe it's time to try out a different celebration across the way this year. DJ spinning tracks, a jazz lounge at the Brown Derby, spooky times at the Hollywood Tower Hotel, there's a little something for everybody. Add in great food and drink options and, oh yeah, the Muppets with a live holiday special, and you have a recipe for fresh holiday fun. Is your family into Encanto? Yep, join the club. Disney wants you to know about a new adventure to Columbia. Not Columbia, that's a college. I've talked plenty about adventures by Disney in the past, but here's a new adventure that takes your family to their favorite animated family and does so in major style. Your journey begins in Bogota, the capital of Colombia. Bienvenido! Your Disney adventure guides will greet you and escort you from the airport to your hotel for the night. Dinner awaits. Adventures by Disney is fantastic at finding local restaurants that capture all the flair and flavor of your destination. Your first full day brings you to myriad markets with access to fresh fruits, flowers, and other produce. This is an authentic destination filled with locals looking for fresh ingredients and vendors all too willing to sell. Okay, you're a tourist, but take a moment to blend in with the crowd and experience life in a place different from your own. Your day takes you to multiple destinations around the capital, experiencing gardens and art. Their culmination is a trip to the museum packed with artifacts from pre-Columbian times, including pieces that convinced Europeans that El Dorado, the city of gold, was actually a real place. The short flight the next day brings your party to coffee-growing regions. Colombia produces a huge part of your morning caffeine ritual, and here you can witness fields of coffee beans and roasting facilities. Take in the surroundings while you enjoy lunch at this destination. They're literally fueling the workday life from which you escaped for this lavish vacation. Hike through the Colombian mountains. Eat lunch with local artisans who teach you their culinary and visual craft. Walk through towns that Disney's illustrators used to craft the town of Encanto. Play, learn local games, explore. You have time in your day and unparalleled access to this region of Colombia. What's that? This vacation doesn't seem long enough. Well, you're only halfway through. Day 5 takes you to Cartagena, a major cultural and artistic center of the country. Sample more food, rum, and chocolate. Learn through a progressive dinner about the culture of Colombia and taste the connections to your family's favorite, most of your family's favorite animated family. I'm pretty sure The Simpsons only went to Brazil. A few days in Cartagena bring you to experiences snorkeling in the Caribbean, relaxing by the ocean, and sampling local delicacies in various restaurants. I'm not sure they could pack more into this vacation plan. 7 nights in Colombia might just be my must-do destination next. And that's 180 seconds. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you'd like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both the Sweep Spot and Consi Ears. Then reach out to Lynn, your personal travel planner. He looks forward to planning something special for you and your family. For Consi Ears, I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Looking to book a vacation to Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World Resort, Disney Cruise Line, Disney Alani, Disneyland Paris, Adventures by Disney, Universal Studios Hollywood, Universal Studios Orlando, then I can do that for you. If you contact me and we can talk about all the different options and dates, and we can kind of even make recommendations on which days might be the best for you to go. And also as a complimentary, when you book with us, we will book your dining for you if you'd like, special events. And we also, when we book a vacation for you, we just don't say have a good time after we book it for you. We are there every step of the way. We contact you before your trip to make sure everything's squared away. We even have a checklist to make sure that you have everything you need. Reservations, dining, all these different things. Your transportation, if you need help with that from the airport, any of those sort of things, we can help you with that too. We want to make the vacation the best it can be for you, because I know that vacations aren't cheap, and we can help you do that. So if you contact me, that's Lynn, and the email is lbarron@concierge.com. That's LBARRON. At concierge.com, or you can go to thesweepspot.com, and there's a link on our front page there. You can click on that, and there's information on how to contact me. But I'd love to talk to you and help you book the best vacation possible. Now we're going to have the current events, but before we get into that, I wanted to discuss a little bit about my, I don't want to go into too much detail, but I did want to discuss a little bit about my most recent trip to Disneyland. So I was there on June 29th, part of the day, half of the day, and then I was there all day on the 1st of July, which was, at the time of this recording, was almost a week ago.
Yeah.
So it was just my son and I. We do like a trip during the summer, usually every year. We try to add something in different. We try to do Disneyland because, you know, we both like that. But this year we went to the Queen Mary and toured that because Luke is really into ships. And we had been there. So we were there. Last time we were there was like 2 weeks before the shutdowns, everything shut down. So they're starting to renovate like everything in the ship, because now the city of Long Beach took it over, and they're starting to fix it up more, and they're doing a lot of there was a lot of damage over the years, and just rotting away wood and stuff, so they're starting to replace a lot of that. Anyways, we went there and went on a tour and walked around, and it was really cool. So if anyone has any like history or, you know, ships or anything, it's really cool, to do that. It's in Long Beach. Then after that, we had a full day that day. We did that like all morning and into the, like right around afternoon. And then we went to, Knott's Berry Farm. And,
oh, wow.
A listener of ours, works there. And helped us out, but won't mention his name, but that was cool. So we got to go there, so thank you, you know who you are. So I hadn't been to Knott's Berry Farm since 1990, and I had a friend that worked on the Calico Mine Train at the time, and he got us in, and I was there just for a little while. And that was in 1990. I haven't been back since. So this was my first time back since then. So it's been, you know, what, 30 something years. So it's been a while. And we had a really good time, but we were only there a few hours because we got there probably at the warmest part of the day. And we had walked around the ship at the Queen Mary, like up and down a ton of stairs and everything. And by the time we got there, it was kind of warm that day. And I was just tired. I was starting to get a really bad headache. And so we only did a few things, but the time we did spend there, we had a really good time. And so I do want to go back again sometime in the future and just kind of spend a little more time there. So I was very grateful for the time we were able to go there. But I did do a few things. We went on Calco Mine Train, which is still my favorite. I think it's probably one of the best attractions they have there. I know some people, the cork thing, whatever they have. I don't know what the name of those roller coasters are now. I don't do any of those, but I know that, you know, someone will say, oh, that's the best, you know, it takes you upside down 12 times. But I think the Calico Mine Train is a Disney quality attraction. And it goes back to that time era, you know. Wasn't it? I think it was like Bud. I can't think of his name.
Bud Hurlbut.
Hurlbut, yeah. Has some ties with Disney and stuff. So, anyways, it was great. We did that. We did I call it the big train. It is big. It's bigger than Disney's. I think Luke was telling me what kind of train it is. I don't know. And then I wanted to check out the Berry Tales because it has ties to, like, you know, Rolly Crump and Chris Crump. Who we had on our show, helped with some of the design of that. And so I wanted to check that out, and that was good. There was a few screens that weren't working for some reason. Like,
that's never happened to me. I've been on that attraction many times, and that's never happened to me.
Oh, really? There was like, maybe it was just me. But
it's just you. It's just
operator error, I guess. But yeah, anyways, so that was a lot of fun. You know what? I think those were the only things we did. And I wanted to go on the log ride, but the line seemed pretty long. And that was one thing I noticed at Knott's, is their lines are a little bit longer.
Right.
Not, I don't know, how do I say it? Deceiving. Because I thought...
Well, you're used to Disney.
Yeah.
And Universal.
Yeah, so we would...
Especially Disney. You're used
Berry
to,
Tales, you know? We walked through the whole queue of Berry Tales, and we got up to the point where you decide where you want to be, because you kind of do your own thing. And I thought, oh, cool, we're like next, you know? Well, it was like 20 minutes before we actually got on it, because it takes a little while, they do how they do it. But anyways, it was good. Had a really good time there, so thank you that we were able to go. It was very fun. And I got to meet the listener, got us in and chatted. So that was a lot of fun. And then we went back to the hotel and chilled. So that was a long story to get to the Disney part. Sorry. So we went to the hotel. But anyways, Saturday we went to Disneyland, and we did rope drop and we did a whole bunch of rides. But the main theme of the day was this whole trip, because even on Thursday when we were in the parks, was breakdowns. And not like, oh, the ride broke down, we can't go on it. No, it was a breakdown, like it interfered with our time, like either we were on it or about to get on it or whatever. And it just seemed like it kind of kept happening, and I didn't know what, if this is something that Disney's kind of ignoring the maintenance, or I thought well, maybe it's also the newer cast members, because after the shutdown and the reopening, they had to hire a lot of new people because some people retired or quit or didn't come back or whatever the reason was. But so Thunder Mountain, lift 2, which is at the bottom of the lift when you're coming down, that's where the goat is. It just stopped in the middle of the lift. And I kind of felt it coming. I was like slowing down, and then it just stopped. I went, uh-oh. So for like 30 seconds, no one said anything. And I thought, and everyone's starting to look around. I went, and Luke was like, hey, we're going to have to get out. And I said, like, maybe, I don't know. Because there's those steps right on the side. So I thought, that's not bad. Yeah. But then they came on the speaker and said, the ride will you know, we'll get going soon. So I thought, all right. And then it did. And then we got to lift three, which is where the dynamite is and everything. And it's the same thing happened. It stopped. And I was like, this is weird. But they muted the sound because it's really loud in there. Or at least it wasn't as loud. And then the same thing, but it was like a minute, like a full minute before anyone said anything. And I thought, man, what is going on? I never had this happen.
Wow.
So anyways, it concluded and we got going. And
I don't think I've ever been evacuated off of.
No, we didn't have to get evacuated, but it just stopped twice. And then.
Right.
And then the other thing was, and this was kind of a confusion more than a breakdown, but on Rise of Resistance, spoiler alert, after the interrogation room where you're there, we, you know how they break you out and they're like in a hurry, like, all right, get in the vehicles, you know, you got to get going. And so we were like color gray and they told us, you know, you're supposed to go where the cars are in the cars. So like, we go to the gray row and I look and there's only one seat available. And I, and they're looking at us and they're trying to figure it out. And they're looking, and they said, oh, they must've counted wrong or something. I said, oh, okay. So they took us like through this back door that led us in this like cast member hallway thing. And it was pretty cool. Cause on the door, I noticed it said, what is it?
Man,
first order only. So I was thinking, oh, that's cool. Cause you know, they don't want someone from the resistance, like walking out that door. So it would be awkward. So, I just thought that was a neat touch that they did and smart, on their end, but it was very, so then they put us out into the, you know, the hallway where they put you in on the colors. So we had to go back through that again and then back in the interrogation room and then back to the breakout scene again. So luckily it wasn't our first time because that would have not been good. But so that happened. Okay. And then also we were on Star Tours. And at the end of Star Tours, they, you know, the screen starts to go down. And it got about halfway down, it just stopped and everything froze. And I thought, oh, what's going on? And it just got quiet and none of the doors opened or anything. And so we all just sat there in this capsule that you're in. And I thought, man, are we like up in the air a little bit? Cause you know how it kind of lifts you up to be able to do all those movements. And I thought, are we still in the air? And how are they going to get us out? What if they can't get us down? And oh no, I hate like tall ladders. And I was starting to think about all this stuff. And then after about 2 minutes, I heard the, you know, and it went down. And then the doors opened on the entrance side and they asked us, you know, to get out. And they scanned our phones and for like, it gave us a multi. I still call it Fast Pass, so I'm going to keep calling it Fast Pass, but Genie Plus, whatever. They gave us a multi one and we used that for something else. But, and then on Millennium Falcon, we were on that and we were the engineers on this one, I think. And we're, all of a sudden, like they told the pilots to go to light speed and that happened. And then right as that happened, like the whole thing froze, like the screen went blank. And I thought,
that's how light speed really is.
I know. I thought, what's going on? And then Hondo or whatever comes on and he's like talking about, you know, this happens sometimes and delays and Chewie, you know, he gets Chewie to try to fix it and all this. And, but then the door opens and the lady came in and she said, oh yeah, you guys have to evacuate. And so we got out.
Oh boy.
They didn't give us a multi-pass.
Sounds like you're the problem.
I think I am. So then, I think there was another one. There was one other one I thought. This is taking a lot longer than I thought.
They weren't running the Skyway.
Yeah, then the Skyway wasn't working, and I was upset.
There you go.
No, I don't know. There might have been more, but anyway, so I wanted to mention also about Rogers the Musical. We were able to go see that. And
well, I tried to get to talk about that during the podcast.
Yeah. We can get. You want to touch on that then? Yeah. Let's touch on that then. So anyway, so we were able to do that, but we had a really good time on our trip. And despite, you know, some of the breakdowns and things. So sorry that it took so long, but I wanted to touch on that. If you want a total, like, way longer version, I have been a guest on a guest slash co-host on the DL Weekly. I'm subbing for Tag as he's gone on his vacation for like 6 weeks. So I will be doing that into, I think, the first week of August. So if you want to go over there, I think it's the latest episode, and I talked all about my trip. So you can go over there and hear that.
I think the other thing was Indiana Jones.
That's right. There was the ball. Yeah, the first time we went on it, the ball wasn't working. And I thought it was odd because the, you know, that had just come back from a long refurb. And the last time I went on it in April, was everything was working perfect. Well, I mean, as good as it could be. But the ball, yeah, it was kind of dark. You couldn't see it. It didn't move. And I thought, man, it's already going, already having problems. But then the next time we went on it the next day, it was working fine. So, all right. So yeah, good time as always. All right, Ken, let's get into the current events.
You didn't take any like final rides on any attractions with an Imagineer or anything like that?
I did not, unfortunately. No. Okay. You didn't.
I thought that was something everybody did.
And you didn't help me out in that way, so no, it didn't happen.
Didn't hook you up. Oh well.
Yeah. Next.
All right. Well, let's get to Rogers the Musical. That's the biggest thing. And by the way, if anyone in the chat room is commenting about your trip, we can talk about that too. But of course, Brady McDonald at the Orange County Register had a review. Disneyland delivers the Marvel musical you didn't know you wanted or needed. And as that review says, if you're a fan of musical theater and Marvel superheroes, and who isn't a fan of both of those simultaneously, then you're going to absolutely fall in love with the new Rogers the Musical coming to the Hyperion Theater at DCA. This article, this review ran on June 30th. If you love just one but not the other, then you'll still be thrilled at the audacity and absurdity of smashing the two strange bedfellows together. If you don't like either, then you probably you should probably go ride the Incredicoaster, because Rogers the Musical caters to two very big niche audiences, but probably won't appeal to Broadway or Marvel novices. Rogers the Musical is at times fun, funny, silly, poignant, determined, and romantic, with plenty of heart and energy. It's utterly ridiculous to see Captain America sing a love song on a Broadway stage surrounded by sequined USO singers, star-spangled dancers, Thor, and Iron Man, but somehow it works. In short, this is the Marvel musical you didn't know you were waiting for, and you won't be able to stop talking about. The breezy and brisk theme park show expertly walks a fine line, taking itself seriously, but not too seriously. And later on in the review, he does say, the backstory of the new Marvel musical at DCA follows the journey of Steve Rogers from his service in World War II to becoming Earth's first known superhero to the birth of the Avengers. Marvel fans were introduced to the fictional Rogers the Musical in the first episode of the Disney Plus series Hawkeye. In the show, Hawkeye attends a performance of the Broadway musical about the life of Rogers, the first Captain America. See, I had a classmate named Steve Rogers, but I don't think it's the same guy. But you were there. You were there in the flesh, weren't you?
I was, and I thought maybe I wouldn't be because, you know, they have the virtual queue, and you're able to try for 10:30 and then 2 o'clock. Well, there's only 4 shows a day. There's one, I think, at 12 and 2, and then 4:30 and 5:30 or 4 and 5:30, something like that. So I tried for the 10:30. I was actually in line for Rise of Resistance when it was 10:30 hit. And I'm really good at that. I was able to get, Ken saw me in action. I was able to get Rise of Resistance pretty quickly. So I'm pretty decent at all that. Well, I thought, I'll be able to get it, you know. So I get on my phone, and Luke's counting down the seconds, and 10:30 hits, and I push go, and it's literally the time I push go, it came on the screen and said, sorry, no more
Jeez.
Available. And I went, wow, that was fast. And I was kind of a little bit disappointed, and I thought, well, I'll have to try it too. Well, later Luke and I went over there about 1:30, something like that. And I said, let's just go over there and check it out and see what's going on. Because they had other options. I knew there was standby, and then there was the package they had. If you wanted to, there was like a package, you get like popcorn and all this stuff. And but I was kind of, it was $30. I was kind of willing to do that. I thought, because I wanted to report back to you guys on this. I'm doing it for the podcast. So
that's right. Suffering for the show.
That's right. So I knew I had to figure out a way, and I didn't want to go to the later one. But if I would, if I had to. So anyways, we went over there about that time, and I noticed that the packages, it said it was sold out. And later now, listening to other shows, that those were sold out like in the morning already. So they had been gone for a while by the time we got there. And so I thought, well, there's standby. I wonder what that is like, because I thought maybe we'll get in. And so I go over there and ask a few cast members. We're like, really, very chaotic in front of the theater there. And I asked a couple cast members. I said, hey, where's the standby? Is there a standby queue? Oh, yeah, it's right there. So I go over there, and I'm standing in line. I thought it was a line. I said, oh, is this for standby? They're like, no. I'm like, oh. So I didn't know what it was, but so I got out of line, and I went and asked someone else. I said, hey, is this, where's the standby queue? And they said, oh, it's over there. And I walked over there, and then I didn't see it. And I finally asked someone that looked like they might know. They didn't work there, but, and they said, I think it's over there somewhere on that side. I went, oh, all right. They sent me over here. So I go over there, and I asked another cast member, and I said, do you know where the standby is? And can you send me to that location, because I've been sent to a couple different places now? And they said, yeah, it's just right here. I said, okay. So I get behind someone, and I said, are you in line for a standby? And they said, yeah. And I said, oh, good. So I finally made it, and I said,
but you found out that it was standby for Monsters Inc.
I know. And I was like, what in the world? No. So
you finally made it.
So I made it into the standby. Still didn't know if I would make it into the show at that point. And I started talking to someone in front of me, and I thought, hey, what do you think our chances are? And this guy said, I think we're pretty good. He said, I think that's the beginning of standby. And I looked up, and it was maybe like 40 people in front of us. And I went, this might actually happen. So then they asked us to move forward a little bit more into this other holding pen. And that's when I discovered a face that I knew. I saw Maynard. Everyone knows Maynard from Tiki Room.
Maynard.
Did other things in the park. So went up and started saying hi to him. And I, like, we kind of know each other, recognize, but I don't think, we're not like friends. But right. We recognized each other and started talking a little bit. He was doing his little act, and then like he does, and. So we started talking about other stuff, and next thing you know, they asked us to move into the to the theater, and they had us go up the stairs. So, and I didn't realize how high up that is. It's just a lot of stairs. It just kept going up and up and up. And so they put standby in the balcony. And so, you know, I thought Maynard was going to do his own thing, or he had some other people to be with. So we got up to the top, and he said, "Oh, where would you guys like to sit?" And I said, "Oh, just anywhere." And so they actually had a lot of openings up there. So if you can't get a virtual queue for that, I would just do standby. It's less stressful. And then you just kind of, I mean, there was plenty of room for us. And that was on Saturday, the second day of the show. So, so anyways, we got up there and we sat with Maynard and saw the show. But it was a great, I really enjoyed it. I'm not like a musical like expert. I don't like love musicals. I mean, I appreciate them, a few of them, but, and I've been to some musicals over the years, but I really thought they did a good job. I thought the singing, the dancing, the cast, the acting was very good. It seemed top notch. It wasn't like a theme park, a typical theme park production. I thought it was right. More of a more professional, something you might see in a Broadway situation. I thought it was really good. It was more the story of Steve Rogers, you know, becoming Captain America and stuff. But even some of the songs are all, you know, original songs. And I thought, I hope they put out a soundtrack, because a couple of the songs were really catchy and I thought they were very good. So I hope they do that at some point. And then I also wanted to mention, I hope that they keep the show longer. I know that it's supposed to end like the end of August, but they must have put a lot of work into this. Well, because
Couldn't it? Is there any reason why it couldn't last longer?
I don't think they have any other plans. I don't see why they would, unless people just don't go to it. I mean, maybe they thought it was like a local thing and only like the big fans would appreciate it, because it is kind of a niche thing, like you were talking about. And you kind of have to, and you don't have to have seen the Hawkeye show to even know that whole story behind how this became, because it's just the story of Steve Rogers becoming Captain America in a short version, but with songs and little witty, you know, comments. But you don't have to know that it was part of that, because Luke hadn't seen Hawkeye, and he enjoyed it. So I hope they keep it going. I don't see why they wouldn't, unless they, you know, some of the cast they have just contracted and might be hard to recast everyone. But I really hope they keep it going at least into next year sometime, because I thought it was done very well. So anyways, hope we get word that they are extending it, because I wouldn't mind seeing it again. I thought it was very good.
Extended my popular demand.
Yeah. So I wanted to go to some of the comments, you know, as I was talking. I'm not going to go way back to Knott's Berry Farm here, but they were talking about
from our chat room.
Oh, they want to bring back Aladdin, John said bring back Aladdin. I think that's kind of ran its course, but I mean, it was good, but and then the $30 popcorn John had mentioned. I think there were some other things that you got with it. It wasn't just popcorn. And then you had like this front, like closer seats to the stage, which in some ways could have been better, but the balcony was fine. Balcony was just fine. Christine said she's never taken the time to see a show there. I had seen a couple shows there. I think I saw the first one, Step in Time or something like that?
Steps in Time or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that, and I saw the drum one they had there, the music one. I don't remember the name now. And I think I saw Aladdin once, but it's a great theater. I mean, they need to utilize it. It's a great theater. It fits a lot of people. Christine said, if it's popular, they'll probably extend it. Michael said maybe they would rather announce extending it rather than announcing closing it early if it didn't.
Right.
So we'll see. Hopefully it continues. I know a lot of pass holders and people will probably want to see it multiple times because, like I said, a lot of the songs were pretty catchy, and I thought it was very funny too. It was good. So if you're going to go, I would advise you to do that in the next 2 months. Or yeah. That's all I have to say about that, Ken.
Well, maybe they've got to clear it out in time for Planet of the Apes, the musical. You know?
Yeah. They should do a Muppets. They should do like a Muppets thing there someday.
Yeah, that would be good. Well, they could do Rogers the Musical with Muppets, see?
Yeah.
They can do a reenactment of the Star Wars Christmas special or the holiday special, whatever they call it. Disney owns all this stuff now. They could do this, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they have so many options. But the thing is also with Hawkeye, I know it started from this, but it doesn't really have anything to do with it except for the one song that Hawkeye went and saw in this episode. But the Hawkeye episode took place at Christmas time. So they could like decorate the theater, you know,
there you go.
Like Christmas and just kind of run with that, I would hope, and run that through the holidays. But
maybe they've got a holiday show planned for it because
maybe,
you know, why else would they say it's going to be limited unless they're trying to stir up attendance for the next couple of months by saying, oh, it's limited, you better come see it, you know?
Right. Well, I really enjoyed it, and I'm not a huge musical fan. I do appreciate music and, you know, shows and talent, entertainment. So I think if you enjoy any of that, I think you will like it.
All right. That's good to get your perspective on it. There is coverage at mychat.com for it, as, you know, as to be expected. Dusty Sage has it, and it says they have photos, video, and info that includes, you know, how to get a seat with the virtual queue, the new food and merchandise, and all that. So laughingplace.com also has coverage, and their review by Ben Breitbart does say Rogers the Musical at DCA is everything a theme park show should be. And he says in his review, the only unfathomable thing about the show is why it is a limited run. While it could be extended or find an alternate venue, as you depart the Hyperion, you can't help but get a sense of melancholy, as you know you won't have that many more opportunities to see it again. In fact, the show is dark every Sunday and Monday, with additional dark days due in July due to private functions. Ideally, the show would pull a Tale of the Lion King and return with a slightly bigger cast and scope with an indefinite run. So it's gotten a lot of good reviews, you know. And Laughing Place also has photos and videos and all that sort of thing. So
I wanted to mention the reason that they're not running on Sunday, Monday is because of, you know, these are like entertainers and there's certain unions and things and how many days they can work and hours and all that.
Right.
And they didn't. So other shows they've done in the past there, they've had like two different casts, you know.
Yeah.
Where they can spread those people out throughout the week, where this, they only hired enough people and crew and all that to cover, you know, for so many days. So they have to take 2 days off. And why they picked Sunday, Monday, I thought maybe it would be like Monday, Tuesday. But yeah, so anyways, maybe if it is big enough and they do want to run it longer, that they will hire more people to have it run 7 days a week. We'll see. Yeah.
All right. So, you know, the links, as usual, will be at our official website, The Sweep Spot, under current events. So you can click through and get the whole thing if you'd like.
John said that once the show's gone, he said maybe they could sell off some of the light bulbs.
Then they can sell off the light bulbs, then they can bring the show back.
Anyways,
I'm wondering how many people in our chat room, which, by the way, you can join our chat room if you're a Patreon supporter, if you support the show at a certain level. But I wonder how many of them got tickets to the Oogie Boogie Bash, because was a fun event. As the Register reports from Brady McDonald, Disneyland resets Oogie Boogie Bash ticket launch after epic tech failure. And this was a story from July 6th. And as it says, Disneyland diehards frustrated by a massive technical meltdown during the Oogie Boogie Bash launch last week finally know when they will be able to buy tickets to the annual Halloween event that often sells out quickly. Oogie Boogie Bash tickets, ticket sales for 25 select nights in September and October at DCA will resume on Tuesday, July 11th, no earlier than 9 a.m., and I'm assuming that specific time, according to the Disneyland website. Tickets for the After Hours separate admission event went on sale to Magic Key holders on June 27th and to the general public on June 29th. The technical troubles with the Oogie Boogie Bash website started shortly after the general public tickets went on sale. Disney's Oogie Boogie Bash website says ticket purchases completed during the initial problem-plagued launch will be honored. And as it says further down the story, customers should not need to give up a part of their day or multiple days to make a simple ticket purchase, according to Mouse Planet. The company needs to make the investment to build or buy the infrastructure required to support ticketing and spend the money on the staff to keep it running. So,
I wonder if any of these staff that are supposed to be running it were laid off or something, you know?
It could be. Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. It's like, how often does Disney do something like this? Like, if they do it often enough, it might be worth it to have a team that's dedicated to these specific kinds of sales.
Yeah.
And if there's any downtime, if there's too much downtime between events that are this popular, Disney could offer the services of that team. They could like be a contractor for other events that are non-Disney. You know what I'm saying? If you create if you create a division that just specializes in handling
online sales,
either that or you go off and you hire, you know, Ticketmaster or whatever. You know,
it just seems like this happens. Of
course, the prices are high enough without Ticketmaster being involved. Yes, go ahead.
I was gonna say it just seems like it happens too often. Every time there's an online sale of any kind that's of any popularity. It just seems like I always hear about these issues. I haven't really tried, you know, any of this, but I heard like for D23, I heard that was a mess, you know. I don't know. Just they're pissing a lot of people off.
It's a lot of people all at once, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's very hard to accommodate something like that. You know, you got to you're going to schedule everything, you know, all at once. And then you know, after that it's not needed anymore, you know, or whatever.
I don't know who was saying this. Maybe it was because I've had these discussions with Teresa on DL Weekly, but I couldn't remember if it was there or here or somewhere, but someone was saying that maybe they should do like for the dates. For these dates, they'll be, instead of all the dates go on sale at the same time, maybe like stagger them. So like on the 7th of July, these dates will go on sale. And then, you know what I mean? Yeah, so there's not like this huge demand for every date that's being offered.
So. There's an idea. I mean, that's worth it, I guess.
Yeah.
So laughingplace.com has coverage of that and all the dates. The last one being Halloween night. I mean, it's a popular party, you know? So, here's something that, well, first of all, I wanted to give you the chance to mention anything in the chat room that might be relevant. Our chatters have fun, so
they had a little fun in here, and then Christine was saying if they want everything done online, they need to upgrade their IT and infrastructure. But John said at least Disney fans won't complain about it. So, yeah, they're usually pretty polite. They don't complain much. Yeah, that's it for now.
Okay. Well, here's something from Laughing Place. Luke Manning had this article. Disney teases potential changes to the Indiana Jones adventure at Disneyland. Well, let's see what the article says. The tease said to keep an eye out. I guess this is from the official Disney Parks blog covering the movie coming out, the Indiana Jones movie coming out, and how that might be also represented at the parks around the world. And it says, the tease said to keep an eye out for some new touches that enhance the experience. These updates help you feel even closer to the mysteries of the Temple of the Forbidden Eye. Notice how Mara taunts you with a powerful energy, which inevitably turns a possible escape route into a rubble of dust. We hope you can find your way out. And as the article says, earlier this year, the Indiana Jones Adventure reopened from a refurbishment, fully restored and brought, it wasn't fully restored, but anyway, fully restored and brought back to life, along with some brand new effects. Meanwhile, Indiana Jones himself can be found wandering around Adventureland for the first time since 2008. So,
I didn't get to see him. Yeah, I didn't get to see him around there.
Oh, you didn't see him?
No, he was hiding. But, yeah.
Maybe he was malfunctioning, you know?
Maybe. Yeah, the movie was great. I saw it. So hopefully more people go and see it. I enjoyed it. I know some of the reviews I read were mixed, but I don't know what people are expecting. I mean, it had a lot of action. It had references to the older movies. It kind of stayed on track to what I think people enjoyed about the other movies. It didn't go off too far on their own thing. So I thought it was good. That's my review.
I think people often forget the original movie. They kind of change things in their mind over the years, and I mean, I don't know, I haven't seen it, so I can't really say for sure, but I do plan on seeing it, and cool. I think sometimes people's perspectives change. We all get we're all older. Like if you saw the original movie when you were like, when you were like 12, it's not going to have the same effect on you seeing it now. Anyway,
but that was good. So
let's talk about cast member fun stuff.
Okay.
The Orange County Register reports Disneyland duck races turn It's a Small World into the world's biggest bathtub. And they have photos. This is the Brittany McDonald story from July 7th. And as it says, the 2023 Disneyland duck races around the Small World Canal were held on Friday, July 7th, before the Anaheim theme park opened to the public. And the loop around Small World took the fastest ducks about 15 minutes, pushed along by the same water flow that propels the attraction boats. The annual race that started just after 6 a.m. with a group launch of hundreds of trained Disneyland ducks. No, they're not actual ducks. They're rubber ducks. Rubber duckies. Mm-hmm. Turned the classic Disneyland boat ride attraction into the world's largest bathtub. Disneyland visitors at the park on Friday may spot a few stragglers in the Small World Canal that didn't reach the finish line. Oh boy. So the article talks about all the different, you know, there's different award categories and some of the different decorations for the ducks. There was no shortage of creativity or inspiration. Ducks were incorporated into everything from Madame Leota's crystal ball and the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon to the Bippity Boppity Boutique Salon and the Cozy Cone Motel food court. Cast members were encouraged to post photos and videos of the competition and designs to social media using the hashtag DisneyCastLife. So if you want to go on and check that hashtag, you can see that. The Disneyland duck races began in 2008 because Lynn had finally left the park. Began in 2008 as a friendly competition among Small World employees before expanding to all cast members in 2011. Proceeds from entry fees will be donated to the My Day Counts nonprofit organization that offers life and work training to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. So, yeah, something that started after our time and sounds like fun, you know?
Yeah, it went down when I was in line. talking to, I had met up with some listeners and we were chatting and we were in line for Small World and it went down. So another...
What didn't go down?
yeah. Good times.
Oh, man. All right. So, yeah, people get the chance to be really creative with that. So, check That's out cool. that hashtag, I guess. Well, I'm sure you're going to have a little bit about this as you bring us the refurb information, but the Orange County Register has to cover everything that happens at Disneyland. So they included Disneyland closing three popular rides during the peak of summer. And of course, it's not closing them forever. But that's what the impression somebody might get from glancing at the headline. Mm-hmm. Disneyland is shuttering two of the most popular Disney California Adventure attractions, along with a temperamental ride at the Anaheim theme park during the peak of summer for several weeks of seasonal refurbishment. Soarin' Around the World and Toy Story Midway Mania at DCA and the monorail that ferries riders between Disneyland and Disney's hotels will temporarily close for standard refurbishments in July. Soarin' Around the World will close July 5th through the 14th. According to the Disneyland website, the Disneyland monorail will also close on July 5th, while Toy Story Midway Mania will close July 17th. Reopening dates for Midway Mania and the monorail have not been set, and both attractions remain closed through at least August 8th, according to the Disneyland website. So, Yes. Anything going on in the chat room that we should hear about?
A couple of little comments here, but nothing really relevant at the moment.
How to reassemble the Dial of Destiny? Yeah. Are they talking about that?
Almost.
they go, you know, use the Dial of Destiny to go back in time and build Westcott. As usual, myshat.com has Disneyland updates that are chock full of pictures and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
There was one from Liliana Parker called Disneyland Update Marvel Invasion milestones, new characters, and more. And that was from June 26th. And as it says, Disneyland has been on a roll lately with loads of projects, new characters and offerings, and lots to catch up on. This week was packed with thrilling happenings, from a Marvel invasion to the time-honored Enchanted Tiki Room ringing in a landmark anniversary. And let's not forget the dynamic flurry of construction unfolding around the resort. So let's dive right in and take a look. So go to thesweepspot.com and click through and you'll see. And Mike Kendrick had an update on July 3rd called Disneyland Update, Red, White, and Boo. And that was, things are heating up around Disneyland in every sense of the idiom. Not only are temperatures rising, but there are all sorts of new offerings and projects cropping up around the Disneyland Resort. Between an entertaining new musical at the Hyperion Theater, I wonder what that is, a new Indiana Jones character, construction updates, and the Yogi Boogie Bash ticketing disaster, there's a lot of Disney news to catch up on. We also note a nearly complete lack of 4th of July decorations this year. It's a jarring lack of red, white, and blue in the parks for the holiday. I think what they didn't want it to do, they didn't want it to clash with their Halloween decorations. You know, they got to get those up. there's so much for us to explore this week. Let's get going. So, yeah, those were the MyChat.com Disneyland updates. Like I said, go to thesweepspot.com. You can click through to all the stories that we're talking about. And do you have some refurb information for us, Lynn?
I do. You spoke about a few of them, but we'll repeat those here. Alice in Wonderland is down again until July 21st.
She's not just down. She's down, down, and out. Down.
Yeah. Monorail is down. Monorail. And no return date set yet.
Monorail.
Yeah. The Soaring Around the World is down until July 15th. And then Toy Story Midway Mania is down July 17th and won't be back until August 18th, which is a month. That's a long time for the summertime. It's kind of odd, but Mr. Toad will be down again. So we were able to go on it when we were there, but I think it's going to go down again July 24th, and we'll be back August 11th. And then Redwood Creek Challenge Trail will be down July 31st and back on the 12th of August as it probably gets ready for the Oogie Boogie Bash parties. The Haunted Mansion, for its yearly down, usually goes down around this time, August 14th. And I have suspicion they don't have it in here yet, but it should be back by September 1st, I'm guessing, because that's when they're saying the Halloween season kicks off, you know. So I imagine it would be back by Friday, September 1st at its latest. So, and then one more. We have Radiator Springs Racers down August 18th and no return date.
Oh, boy.
It's weird that it's going down on a Friday. Usually things come back up on a Friday, but it's going down.
That is interesting. Why? That's weird.
Yeah. But that's all I have.
Maybe they want to have it up by a certain date, and
yeah,
that's the absolute latest that they could take it down. I don't know. I mean,
they do a scheduling, or it seems very odd that that all this is happening during the summer. I know we spoke about this before, but
Yeah.
I know, isn't it weird? In past years, even,
I mean,
definitely,
look at how many schools are, you know, I know, they're back in early August. So many schools,
yeah.
So everything's kind of shifted.
You know, I guess so.
I would have revolted. I was just remembering the other day, just I was trying to think back to that feeling I would get when I realized it's the last day of school when I was a kid, you know?
Yeah, such a great feeling.
I've got the whole summer ahead of me because I was a big summertime guy, you know? You know, go to the beach, go swimming, just, oh, yeah. Summers were my thing. And then, you know, of course, as I got older, you know, spend as many days as I could at Disneyland. But, you know, and August was, you know, the trail end of it. But if you would have told me, you know, you're going to go back to school in early August, I would have been like at the peak of the heat, you know?
Yeah.
I think not, you know?
Well, and also Disneyland's kind of shifting because of Halloween is becoming more popular. Like usually, like when you and I worked there, September, October was some of the slower months. You know, then it pick up again around Thanksgiving in November, all the way through the holidays. But now it's kind of because of Halloween, it's pretty consistently busy, I'd say September 1st on. And even beginning of summer, but it's very rare now. I mean, you have maybe a January and February, but it's maybe not as busy. But anyhow, I think that's all we have. Let me look on the chat before we stop this. John was saying his birthday is September 1st. We're talking about September 1st.
Happy birthday. Anyway.
John said he'll be on an Alaskan cruise. He's talking to Christine. Yeah. Anyways, cool.
Yeah, our Patreon supporters will chat with each other in the chat room. They can have fun talking with each other. It might not even have anything to do
it's funny.
With the podcast. So join our Patreon and you can join in the fun on that too. And spread the word about the podcast. We do these current events updates every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And the other weeks we have a topical episode, often about history, or we often interview somebody who worked in or at or on Disneyland of, you know, some sort. Next time we're going to have somebody who had several different roles at Disneyland and other Disney parks and stuff. So, so just subscribe to us or follow us or like us, depending on the platform where you listen to us. Spread the word, tell other people that we're here. If you haven't checked out our official website or haven't checked it out lately, go ahead and check that out. Check out our nice merchandise that we have linked to from there. And if you haven't bought our books, you really, really, really need to buy them. If you like the show at all, you'll like both Cleaning the Kingdom books. So, thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. Anything else, Lynn?
Not that I could think of, but just thank you for all the people in the chat room. Appreciate you coming and hanging out. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.